Well, we're continuing our series through Luke's Gospel, and we've reached chapter 11 and verses 1 to 13. While you turn there, just state the obvious, really. Most of the world believes that there is a God. Most people know God is real, but how interested is God in you and me? Pagans believe that for an audience with the gods, you've got to pay. If you want to be heard by a house spirit, you offer it bread or fruit with a drink of wine or beer. And apparently, if you want to be heard by a garden spirit, you offer it honey or corn with a drink of water or milk. And you have to pay them again and again, or else they won't hear you. So maybe instead of the name pagan, they should be called pay again, pay again. How does it work with the real God, who made the entire universe? How do you get heard by Almighty God, the one true God who controls all matter, energy, time and space? What could you possibly have to offer him? Why on earth would he bother to listen? Or maybe he responds to nagging, rather like petitioning your MP maybe. You need to persuade him by persistence. Got to put in the hours and show him I mean business. I've got to smack on his door repeatedly and harass him. But that's not what Jesus teaches here. Have a look with me from verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, well, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The point of what Jesus is saying is that we can talk to God with great confidence because he's our Father. The point is, pray shamelessly to our Father. In order to get heard, you don't have to pay God or pester him. God isn't some far-off, reluctant deity. Did you notice the very words that Jesus' prayer begins with, verse 2, "Father"? Once you've become a Christian, you enjoy God's fatherly love. Is there anything good that your father would hold back from you? No. Not even the highest gift, which is his holy presence. The word "father" tops and tails this whole section. Verse 13 ends with these words, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You see, he's not slow or begrudging to answer the requests of his children. No, he is so willing to give the best. I hope you'll forgive me for working kind of backwards through this passage. Looking firstly at verses 11 to 13, we can see we can pray shamelessly because our Father is willing to give the best. And to illustrate this, Jesus uses a familiar domestic conversation. Dad, I'm hungry. Can we have some fish and chips? Tell you what, son, I've got something with a bit more bite to it. Here in this basket, I'll just put it on the dinner table. Now, let me just step back a bit and you open the lid. Ah, Dad, why would you give me a king cobra? Now, rest assured, I've never done that to anyone. I very much doubt you would either. Let's rewind the scenario then. Dad, I'm hungry. Can we have scrambled egg? Well, my love, I've actually got you something a bit more exotic. I found this venomous arachnid on the way home. A what? Oh, just look under that bowl. Ah, Dad, why would you give me a scorpion? No parent is perfect, fine. We can be selfish and stupid, but we know enough to give good gifts to our children. What about our Heavenly Father? Does God play vicious tricks on his kids? No. Verse 13, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God isn't some mediocre parent. He's the most compassionate and wise. He knows what we need the most. And it's the Holy Spirit. Because once God the Spirit takes up residence, we actually lack nothing. We have his protection and his provision. With the Holy Spirit in our life, we have guidance and transformation. We have joy and peace and hope, the guarantee of eternal life. Paul the Apostle says, the Holy Spirit is like a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 2. When we ask our Father, he gives us his Holy Spirit and everything else besides. Our Father is so willing to give the very best. And more than that, you don't have to wear him down. That's the point in verses 9 and 10. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now there's a sense in which our prayer is continuous. We talk to God throughout the day. If we need something, it's part of an ongoing conversation. So it's no surprise the verbs in verse 9 are specifically in the present tense. It's not just ask, seek, knock. It's more like carry on asking, go on seeking, keep on knocking. And we don't do that because we think the Father is deaf and doesn't want to hear us, or he's forgetful and so he needs reminding, or he's so busy and we need to keep calling until he picks up the phone. No, far from it. God hears, God remembers us, God has us in mind constantly. And his affection for you is greater than you'll ever have for yourself. He loves you more deeply than you ever will. And he knows what you face today. And he determines what tomorrow holds too. He knows what we need better than we ever will. So if we're going to text anyone for a favor, if we're going to seek out anyone, if we're going to knock on anyone's door, well, the very best person is our Father. For when you ask of him, you do receive what you need. He gives generously to all without finding fault. And when you seek him, you find him, because he's not far from any one of us. And when you knock, the door will be opened. Because he's your Father. He is so willing to give the best. You don't have to wear him down. So ask for his help in the big things and for his counsel in the little things. Ask with an engaged mind and a focused will, not vague generalities. Have the nerve, have the gall to ask what you'd only ask the perfect Father. Make bold prayer the pattern of your life and the framework of your days. We can be shameless with our Father. And Jesus has got a beautiful illustration in the middle of this passage. Verses 5 to 8 show us that he is predisposed to listen. He's predisposed to listen. And here we find an almost comical story about a reluctant friend who eventually answers a bold request. Now, he is indisposed because it's midnight, but he eventually says yes. And God is not like that. This is a story by way of contrast. Look with me again from verse 5. And Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend. You go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. And that's just a human friend. Well, what about your Heavenly Father? Ask, seek, knock. I want us to get into this story a bit more. So put yourselves in the shoes of a first century Jew with this major catering crisis. This guest has just arrived late in the day, exhausted from his journey. And of course, in that Near Eastern culture, hospitality is huge. To provide food for strangers is a sacred duty. So whenever guests arrive, you never turn them away. Now you make sure you give them a decent meal. And in that culture, the cutlery was often bread. You dipped bread in the sauces. You used to pick up the meat or the fish with bread. And therefore, it will not do to give your guests a bag of Doritos. You give them at least 2 or 3 loaves. And so you open your cupboard and you look for those Hovis. Oh no, there's nothing there. The cupboard's empty. Well, you can't turn your guest away. This is going to be a huge family shame. And so you pour him a large cup of wine, smile innocently, and then dash out the door because you sprint round your friend's house. Surely he's got some bread. Even if it's midnight, you're going to beg to borrow some food from his cupboard. Yeah, it's the dead of night. Okay, his door is closed to visitors. It's like a do not disturb sign, really. Door is shut. Subtle hint, folks. But even if his door is locked and the entire household has gone silent, you hammer on his door and you wake him up. Now, like most people in those days, he's only got one room, one bed. And so when he gets up, he has to fumble around in the darkness, clambering through a family of arms and legs. They all share the same bed. And so by the time he's going to reach the door, well, nearly everyone will be awake. It's a huge inconvenience. And so this guy is not going to get up. He's going to be rather short with whoever is hammering on his door. We're asleep. Go away. But the need is urgent. I only want to borrow some bread. I'll pay you back. And you go on knocking until your poor friend caves in. And you hear the commotion it's causing. Baby Brenda is already wailing and young Bobby is moaning like competing air raid sirens in the darkness. And Mum is not amused. Whoever it is, just get rid of them. Well, before long, the door bolt is violently shunted and this cranky neighbour creaks open the door. You've got a nerve, he growls. Well, yes, you do have a nerve, but that's because you have a need. And that's why all social convention is out the window. You are shameless, audacious. Look again with me at verse 8. This is the key verse here, really. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Well, please, don't think that God is like that sleeping friend. Our Father is predisposed to listen. You seek him, you find him. You knock on his door and he opens. It's never too late. There's never an awkward moment for our Father. Because he neither slumbers nor sleeps. It is never midnight to him. He never says, don't bother me now. It's never an inconvenience for him to listen and to answer. God is the closest friend, the richest friend, the most accessible friend. Because he's the God of the entire cosmos and he's your loving Father. So why would we ever not go to his door and knock? It's not far. He's never indisposed. His door is never locked. And he has available bread for each day. And it's never alone. It's always the most willing gift. And so, children of God, let's pray shamelessly to our Father. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is claiming God's willingness. Prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It is claiming God's willingness. You might rightly say that you don't deserve his attention. Well, not one of us is sinless. All of us offend God daily. We don't love him as we should. We don't love other people as we should. Well, that is why Christ came and gave his life for you. It's so that people who don't deserve it can be utterly forgiven and utterly adopted forever into God's family. And that is the very best place to be. Because there is nothing God wouldn't do for his children. Romans 8 verse 32 promises, if he gave up his only son for us, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Now, if you're not yet a Christian, this promise is not yet for you. Until you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sacrificed for you on the cross. Until then, you cannot experience the blessings of being a child of God. You cannot expect God to open his door when you knock. But once you've trusted in Christ and gained him in your life, then the Father is predisposed to listen to you because you're part of the family. Ephesians 3 verse 10 says, in Christ and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So pray shamelessly to our Father. He is so willing to give the best. You don't have to wear him down. He is predisposed to listen. Now, natural thing you might say next is, well, why didn't he give me what I asked for? I needed that job. I needed that house. I longed for that partner. I've named it. I've claimed it. So where is it? Well, just remember that the father often knows better than the child. Kids often ask for foolish things, or they don't know the situation or the real problem. Well, they don't know what's just around the corner. And often they just need to slow down a bit and understand. Well, here's an illustration. I think praying can be a bit like coming up to traffic lights. You don't always get the same signals. Sometimes it's a red. Red is, well, stop. You're asking for the wrong thing. I have something better. It may not feel very good right now, but trust me, just stop. Amber is like a wait. You're asking for the right thing, more or less, but the timing isn't quite right. Just hold on. Trust my timing. And sometimes you get a green, a go. The answer's right in front of you. Open your hand. Open your eyes sometimes. Or open the door. Speak up. Step out. For I am with you. I must say, I often get quite discouraged in prayer because not much seems to happen some of the time. But you know, I think that's mainly because I'm forgetful. I so easily forget that, well, the red times in the past are when God actually responded in an even better way than I expected, in a different way. And I forget the amber times where God answered my prayer later than I expected, but bang on schedule. And I forget the green times when I just took it for granted that God had already provided and all I had to do was just look up See, gloriously, God is willing, so willing to give the best. He's not reluctant because he adores each of his children. You don't have to wear him down. He isn't some aloof monarch. He is far closer than the best BFF. He is predisposed to listen. And if that's the case, then what should we be asking for? Clearly, if I ask that my will would be done all the time, I've missed the point of who's actually in charge. Prayer is not about pressurizing God to get what I want. It's about seeking God for his will to be done. In other words, a grown-up prayer to the Father will ask for the very best things. And that's what we find in verses 1 to 4. When you ask for the very best things, you enjoy the kind of peace that Jesus did in prayer. I think that's probably why the disciples asked him in verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. And he taught them the Lord's Prayer in verse 2. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Now, this isn't a formulaic prayer to simply memorize and rattle off. Otherwise, well, you wouldn't see such a rich variety of other prayers in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. This prayer really is a brief rundown of God's agenda. Just a summary of the very best things we can pray. And you can count the five agenda items on the fingers of one hand. The first one starts with the word hallowed. It's a very rare word in our culture, isn't it? Usually used at football grounds, I think, the hallowed ground. But when we say hallowed be your name, what we mean is may everyone adore you and honour you as God. It's a prayer for adoration of our Father. Because he's more holy and wonderful than anything, yes, even football and everything else. The second point on the agenda is your kingdom come. Well, the king reigns, and we want this king to reign everywhere, in everyone, in every way. Because then there is freedom and fulfillment. For as people submit to him, well, they live in the way they were built to. And then there's prayer for daily needs. Give us each day our daily bread so that we can share with others. Whether that's physical strength or emotional energy or time or actual bread. And then we can also give daily thanks. Fourthly, forgiveness. Forgive us our sins so that we can go on forgiving others. Father, there's nothing worse than having a guilty conscience. Cleanse me, release me, so that I can be reconciled to you and to others. And lead us not into temptation. And by the way, that's a double negative, effectively. Lead us not into this bad thing. A double negative is, the posh name is a litotes. It's not implying that God would lead any of us into sin. This is a double negative. It's a passionate way of saying an affirmative. God, I don't want to sin anymore, so guide me to do what is right. Give me the power by the Holy Spirit to listen to you and to obey. That's what we're praying for. And the good news is God is absolutely primed to answer prayers like that. He loves it when his children ask for such help. And how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Because it's the Holy Spirit who moves us to adore God, to submit to Christ as King, to give thanks for daily provision, to forgive others, and to understand the Father's will. See, God our Father is so ready to answer us when we pray. So we need to ask for these very best things. And when we do that, we can pray shamelessly. We can pour out our hearts to him as dependent children, knowing that he's so ready to listen, predisposed to answer. We don't have to wear him down. God is willing to give the very best. Now, bear with me, this may seem a bit of a strange thing, but I used to watch strongman competitions on the TV, and one of the ways that they'd build up their forearm strength was to grab a wet towel. Sorry, everything's dry today, for obvious reasons. They'd grab this wet towel, and they'd scrunch it, and they'd wring it out until every last drop was gone. And they'd wipe the sweat from their brow, and wring the sweat out. And that, for many people in the world, is just a picture of prayer. It's toilsome, it's painful, it's an exercise in mighty willpower, and it's not for the faint-hearted. But what if God is not reluctant to answer? What if your Heavenly Father is more like a dripping wet sponge? He's just pulled out of a bucket, and He loves to give willingly the moment you put your hands together. Let's come to Him more often, folks. Here, and at work, and at home. Shamelessly. When you get in the car, who cares who's watching you in the traffic queue? Shamelessly, when you start a meal, when you finish, before the exam, during the assignment, after you get that letter. Offer to pray with colleagues, with friends, and with your children and grandchildren. May they all see that God loves to hear His children. And we can pray shamelessly and pour out our hearts to Him, because God is our Father. I'm going to finish by praying some words from the Old Testament. Some of my favorite words from Psalm 62. Let's bow our heads and echo them in our hearts. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge and our Father. Amen.